Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
Legal gun owners are a very, very, very minuscule percentage of gun violence throughout the country, right? This is not rocket science, right? You go look at the city of Chicago. How many of those guns are legal? One out of a million? Alrighty, welcome back, Mike and Mihailu. A mid-September edition here today. And one of the best days of the year, I got to tell you. Monday Night Football aftermath of the Bills just dominating Tennessee for four quarters last night. It really just feels good, Stefan. I can't get enough of it, honestly.
I know. I got to tell you, though, as a diehard Bills fan that remembers watching four straight Super Bowl losses, my thought process, like the paranoid Bills fan that I am, is, okay, when are the wheels going to fall off the wagon? Meaning they'll be like the Patriots. You remember they had that undefeated season, and then what happened? They lost in the Super Bowl to the Giants.
So I don't know though. I mean, this team, and I'm not saying it's because we're Bills fans. It's just everybody around the league says it now, right? I mean, they are just stacked in every way possible, and you just gotta hope that they stay healthy. And I know they had a couple injuries last night, but stay healthy over the course of a year. We may have a deep run here to talk about in February and March.
Well, the work week is always better after a Bills victory. Like it or not, it is. And hey, and you know, it's the King Charles era, and the Bills are 2-0 in the King Charles era.
Yep, we might be onto something here.
I think he's a Bills fan.
That's right. I gotta hope he is. Gotta hope he is, because as long as he's not a Pats fan, we'll be okay.
That's right. Well, I know a lot of folks who are not fans of Kathy Hochul are people who support the Second Amendment, folks who are firearm owners. I mean, I recall, you know, very stringent new rules, Mike, kicked in on September 1st. And I'm sure you were even getting phone calls from people like, hey, do I need to get my pistol permit? What's going on here? Both of our phones were blowing up, were they not?
Yeah, I think there's a lot going on with that. And here's the thing. I think like everything New York State does, Stefan, they really don't give you any clear answer to anything, right? This new gun law, it's like, yeah, you just can't have guns in like all these places, yet all those places are everywhere you can go. Like there's just no clarity to anything with these people.
Well, I took my godfather right before the new laws in New York State kicked in, technically, you know, midnight, September 1st. In the line in Erie County, at least in Buffalo, for obtaining a pistol permit was like wrapped around the building. Everyone's trying to get in. And I think the perfect person to bring in right now is Ed Pettit. He's an Niagara County guy, which obviously is north of Buffalo. Ed is the president of Second Amendment Forever, Inc., which is safe. They're up in Niagara County. Big advocacy group to, you know, support and maintain our Second Amendment and the rights of responsible gun owners. Ed's also co-chairman of the Gun Owners Rights Advocacy Panel. Ed, thanks for joining us. It's good to see you again.
Thank you, Stefan. Good to see you again, too.
Okay, so people who are not familiar with what Mike and I were discussing, September 1st, new gun laws come in from New York State Governor Kathy Hochul, who did not win an election, basically became governor by default. Can you take us through, for someone who knows gun rights and gun advocacy inside and out, Ed, can you just explain what these new rules mean for anyone moving forward who wants to obtain a pistol permit in New York State?
First of all, relative to the pistol permit, it means a 16-hour class as opposed to the previous two-hour class. That 16-hour class is going to be anywhere from $300 or $400 up to $700 or $800 additional in getting a permit. The new rules are re-registration every 3 years instead of five. That just makes it more cumbersome. The state's not going to send you a reminder. So in my opinion, it's basically setting up a technical trap that if you lapse on getting your registration, they'll confiscate your pistol permit. So those are the typical things with the new permit process.
And then what about folks who actually, like myself, I'm a concealed carry permit holder in New York State prior to these new rules. What about where you can and cannot legally carry a firearm now under these new laws?
Well, basically, it's mostly where you can't carry, and that's mostly everywhere outside of your house and vehicle, as far as I can tell. It's so ridiculous that reenactors, I think right now, can't do reenactments like at the Fort Niagara. There's issues with pistol permit holders in the Allegheny State Park area, in those counties that basically live in a state park. And can they carry? And where do they actually live? So those are a lot of issues. Basically, this is a typical law lately in New York State where they pass the law and then make the rules afterwards. So you don't really know what the rules are. And then there's people saying that there's some agents say they won't enforce certain parts of it, and others say, well, it just makes everyone confused. And that's dangerous in society to have laws that confuses people.
Ed, where are we at with I'll call it a court filing or a Supreme Court filing on this, because it seems very unconstitutional just based on, you know, what we've seen in New York State. They've gotten a few things struck down now. Is this already in the courts? Is it going to take forever to get this through the courts? Do you have any info on that?
Yes, there are some lawsuits that have been filed. I think 1791, I thought Nick Langworthy did. I'm not sure where that stands. But I'd like to tell you what Niagara County is doing, because I think this is really the important thing. Niagara County, so we have the Gun Owners' Rights Advisory Panel. When these laws came out, and this was started 16 months ago, Niagara County unanimously passed a resolution to create this panel. And our objective is to provide policy proposals to the county to protect the rights of gun owners. So we looked at these laws this summer. We came to the conclusion that, hey, it's time that the county needs to take action to protect the rights of its citizens. So we made a proposal, actually wrote a resolution for the county to consider. The group that I'm president of, Second Amendment Forever, started a petition to utilize our First Amendment rights to petition our local government for redress of grievances. We got over 3,000 signatures of gun owners in Niagara County. We had a rally on the 7th, which, Mike, we talked about on the Financial Guys radio show a few weeks ago and promoted that rally. We filled up the Frontier Fire Hall, 712 people inside the building, standing room only, before we had to close the doors and turn people away. And that was ahead of the Niagara County vote in the legislature the following Tuesday, which they passed a resolution unanimously. Every legislator asked to be put on the resolution as a co-signer. And that resolution, which is different than almost any other resolution in New York State, not only opposes the gun laws, but authorizes Niagara County to take legal, legislative, and other actions, and to work jointly in a coalition with other counties to fight these laws for the people.
And real quick, let me jump in one more time before I know Stefan probably has another question here. I guess what's frustrating to me, Ed, and I don't know as much about this stuff as someone like you would, or Glenn Wiggle from the Financial Guys would, a big gun guy. He's got a ton of them. We all know, and the data shows, and we've seen it now for the last, I don't know how many years, a lot of these gun crimes are happening from people that don't have legal firearms, right? Legal gun owners are a very, very, very minuscule percentage of gun violence throughout the country, right? This is not rocket science, right? You go look at the city of Chicago, how many of those guns are legal? One out of a million? You know, I mean, that's what's so crazy about us. And you have Kathy Hochul acting like it's me and you that are shooting everybody on the streets.
Exactly. It's statistically zero, the amount of crimes committed by responsible gun owners. Actually, responsible gun owners have one-tenth the rate of, let's say, firearm violations than police officers.
Right.
So Sheriff Filicetti, when our county legislator passed that resolution, Sheriff Filicetti afterwards spoke up in favor of that resolution. He says he's been trying for a couple of years to try to get the state to address some of these things that have increased crime in our community, such as bail reform, raise the age, less is more. And he says they've done nothing. Yet overnight, they can pass a bill to attack the people that aren't the problem. So he's very frustrated. Our whole county is frustrated.
Well, it even sounds like when the SAFE Act was first passed and how they passed it and they said, well, wait a minute. We actually didn't really read it. We didn't think about the implementation because under the, you know, the law that they actually passed, police officers were technically creating felonies based on the amount of bullets they had in the chamber, so to speak. Ed, I want to talk about social media. Because right now, when I applied for my concealed carry permit, I did not have to share in any way, shape, or form what my social media accounts were. The new law on September 1st, what does someone have to do pertaining to their social media accounts when they apply to New York State for a pistol permit?
I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot to mention that in the first question that you asked me.
Sure.
But you basically have to provide your social media accounts and passwords for any of the social media accounts that you've had for the past 3 years or within the past 3 years. That's a First Amendment violation just by itself. What other group of people, first of all, have to have basically a judicial action to allow you to exercise a right? We're the only people. And you know, when you go for a pistol permit, you don't get protections of the rights of the accused. Like if you were accused of a crime. So if I want to exercise my Second Amendment right, I'm not accused of a crime or anything. But in order to exercise my right, I have to start a process with the government that eventually get reviewed by a judge. And I have none of the protections as if I were accused. I'd be better off being accused of a crime. And to come out of a situation with my rights intact, right? Because I don't get access to a lawyer. I don't have the protection of the innocence in this process, and all the other protections that you have. You do not have when you go for a pistol permit. But we lived with it for all these years, and we're the safest people. The most confirmed people in society to be safe. I don't think teachers have to go through what we go through to become a teacher. I don't think any of our politicians have to clear the background checks that we have to, and yet they're making laws that are increasing crime.
It's crazy, isn't it? And now, Ed, I want to touch on one more thing because I know Mike's got a question after this, but you know, 5 years ago, actually, I had to go for my recertification with the New York State. I had to go online. Yes, it's me. And please let me keep my pistol permit. But I received it because I had a legitimate, very scary death threat from an inmate, not knowing where he could actually go out and kill my family and do some of the things he said he was going to do in a letter to me. Obviously, no clue where. The shopping mall, a store, my home, my work. So with this new law, Ed, can you talk about these signs, like these actual physical signs that either establishments, businesses have to put in order for you to be able to carry a firearm in New York State?
Yeah. So actually I have one here if you want, if holding it up would help, but yeah, I have one. Businesses, the law says that unless any place is off limits, any business is off limits, you can't carry unless they put a sign that says they allow concealed carry. All right. Now, at that rally that we had a couple weeks ago, there's a lady there who runs a beauty salon. She says she's pro Second Amendment. She carries, but a lot of her customers are liberal and anti Second Amendment. She says, if I put that sign in my storefront, because I feel safer when concealed, when people come to my store that are carrying, but I might lose more than half my business. What do I do? That's not something our government should be setting up to, you know, cause problems within our society between citizens. And that's exactly what that, it's a, it's a, It's a piece of political petulance. That's what this law really is. It's political petulance and nothing more.
Well, I'll tell you one easy way to get it fixed is get these people like Kathy Hochul, like Mark Poloncarz, get them the hell out of office. And I'm going to say what Stefan always says week in and week out on this podcast, Ed, get your ass off the couch and go vote. And I know you do, Ed. I'm not saying you personally. Yeah. I'm saying anybody, yeah. Right? Get your ass off the couch and go vote and stand up for what you believe in. And that's what we have to do. We don't have a choice because look at what they did to us with COVID, right? That was the greatest example of they will take every bit of power they can get and put it on us in a second, and they don't care. They just needed a little emergency, right? This is the next thing. Stefan, we've talked about this, and Mike and I have talked about this. Then it'll be climate change, right? Then they'll be telling you when you can and can't go out in your car. Right. I mean, whether you can eat meat that day or not. Right. Well, whatever it is, this is just another step in that I'll call it momentum of them just taking us over and literally telling us what to do every day.
So what Niagara County did, and this is the most important thing, and I think most people don't realize this. This process is forming a coalition of counties to push back on the state. This is renovating the Republican form of government system, our civic system. That has deteriorated. If this works, this can work for climate change. What we really got to do is fight back New York City. And we got to get a coalition of counties to do that. That's why we did it this way. That's why I think this is more important than any individual suing against this law or any gun group suing against this law. It's got to be the counties working together to exercise their powers. They're not just charters of the state. They're the foundation. We're the people, the foundation of our Republican form of government. They're the first floor of our representation. They got to finally exercise their powers, exercise their oaths to protect the Constitution, protect the rights of their people. That's what Niagara County stood up for. I'm proud of our county for doing this. We had unanimous support from the legislature, the sheriff, everybody in Niagara County is behind this. And we're already, the coalition is forming. We're getting other counties joining us.
And Ed, just two questions before we wrap up. Number one, don't you think the different restrictions and showing your social media, having to go through a much longer course, paying hundreds of dollars, at the end of the day, these politicians don't give a damn about the specific hoops you have to jump through. Isn't their end goal for people to say, oh, no way, this is too hard, I'm just not going to apply for a pistol permit?
You're absolutely right, Stefan. And the other aspect of this is that who's going to be most hurt by this? It's going to be the people in the cities, the minorities, the poor. They're going to be legislated out of being able to protect themselves because of the burdens and the costs to do it.
And don't ask us. Go ask the folks in Chicago, one of the strictest gun laws in the country, and it's a war zone over there. I mean, a legitimate war zone. 300 shootings a weekend or whatever it's up to now. I mean, that's the thing that's crazy about this, Ed, and I keep going back to that. We see it. The age of social media, we see it in seconds.
And it's not affecting the Martha Vineyard type people, right?
No, it's not.
Right.
Or the politicians with their security details either.
Exactly. So,
and I want to close on a point that Mike made, and it's a good one, but this is almost like a call to action for owners of firearms across New York State. Because look, you know, if every single owner of a firearm registered to vote and voted, and I'm assuming they're like-minded individuals who would vote either conservative, Republican, or at least a little bit more towards the right, if every single permit owner in New York State voted, Charles Schumer wouldn't be in office. Kathy Hochul wouldn't be in office. Governor Cuomo. So don't we have to basically call out the firearm owners across New York State and say, enough, it is your responsibility now to vote in November.
I do that at every one of our meetings. It's a duty to vote. There's no excuse not to vote. It's a duty. In a Republican form of government cannot exist with the turnout that we have. At best, 1 in 4 gun owners vote. I just saw a statistic that only 8% of gun owners voted against Cuomo after the SAFE Act. 8%. How do you survive that way? We can't do that. And I say this at every one of my meetings. We got to get the gun owners out to vote.
Amen to that. Ed, I've known you a long time. You're a good friend, and thank you for fighting the good fight, not just Niagara County, though, across New York State. And it's really good to catch up with you. Thank you for joining us.
What we did is taken a cop is noticed all across the state. It's gone viral.
Amen to that. Great work, buddy. Good to see you.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. That is Ed Pettit. Again, just a great guy. And Mike, I have known him a long time. He's president of Second Amendment Forever in Niagara County, but does a ton of work across New York State. I cannot wait, Mike. I've literally just been waiting. Like, I cannot wait to hop on our podcast to talk about Martha's Vineyard.
We talked about it Saturday. Like, I thought it was great sending him to New York City and DC. I thought that was hilarious. Sending him to Martha's Vineyard and outside Kamala's house is just next level for me. The ultimate troll.
But this, I know, Mike, but like, I love her podcast so much. And like, a lot of times, oh, we got a great guest. But this is like Christmas. Like, I'm it like, is. I cannot wait to go on our podcast and talk about Martha's Vineyard.
I know we have clips, so we're not going to ruin them. But oh my God. I mean, you can't, it's worse than a sitcom, the reactions that we're going to show here in a little bit. It is laugh out loud funny. And I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. If you actually have a brain in your head and you're logical, you have to see the hypocrisy, right? You can't miss it.
Well, you know, here's one thing, though. All over Martha's Vineyard, and Bill Clinton sees this. He vacations there. Yeah. You know, friends of his has homes there.
Of course he does.
All over Martha's Vineyard, you see those liberal, left-leaning signs. Immigrants are welcome here. Love Trump's hate. And on paper, these limousine liberals are like, yes, we're a sanctuary city. We're a sanctuary community. Until you become a sanctuary city, until you become a sanctuary community.
And sounds better in theory, not in actual practice.
Until they show up on your doorstep. And so, Mike, the first clip I want to play, because we mentioned Bill Clinton. Now, Bill Clinton, again, vacations in Martha's Vineyard. He and many others had the idea, this is wonderful because all of my fellow rich liberal elites who put their pinky up when they drink tea are going to welcome these illegals with open arms.
And I don't know what Massachusetts is going to do, but I'll bet that they will make those people feel at home.
Sure, sure.
Nope.
Well, I mean, he's starting to sound a little like Biden. He's losing his brain a little bit. I mean, we all knew they weren't going to take him in and like have him live in their 12 bedroom homes. We knew that, right? This is not a shock to anybody that knows these types of folks. They were not bringing these people in with open arms. Like, we're your savior. We got hospitals here. We got, you know, medical assistance over here. We got meals for you. That was not happening.
But they're the ones who said immigrants are welcome. If they come here, we love them. We'll treat them with compassion and kindness. Of course, we want to become a sanctuary city from thousands of miles away in our multi-million-dollar homes. And then all of a sudden, well, wait a minute, they're here. They're here. And for people on Martha's Vineyard, you know, someone replied to me on Facebook by saying, oh, yeah, they love immigrants as long as they got a sponge, a bucket, and a mop, and they're cleaning their houses.
Well, and I was going to say, Stefan, these are the same people that say Black Lives Matter, yet they tell Black people they can't go vote for themselves and they have to help them vote and go to the DMV to get an ID, right? These are the same people that say Black Lives Matter, yet they live in all white neighborhoods. These are the same people that say Black Lives Matter that are African-American that marry white people. It makes no sense.
So here is, you know, we hear from Bill Clinton saying, I think the people in Martha's Vineyard are going to welcome these illegal immigrants with open arms. And of course, in our next clip, we're going to hear from one of the public servants, a public official in Martha's Vineyard that said, nope, we can't handle this.
The difficult challenges are we have at some point in time, they have to move somewhere else, right? We don't have the services to take care of 50 immigrants. And we certainly don't have housing. We're in a housing crisis as we are on this island. And so we can't house everyone here that lives here and works here. We don't have housing for 50 more people.
Okay, there's a lot to dissect in this one, but this is one of my favorite things about this whole situation, right? we just can't handle 50 people. Like, it's so many. 50. Go down to Del Rio or Cochise County where Sheriff Daniels is. 50? That's like a minute down there.
I was going to say, that's like the afternoon at 1.
Yeah, that's during lunchtime on Monday at noon, right?
Right, before the rush.
Right, right. That's the people coming over across the pond real quick, just swimming across in a dash real quick. I mean, that's what's so outrageous about this. I saw a stat this weekend, Martha's Vineyard, 17,000 person population, 50 migrants. I think it was Del Rio, Texas, 35,000 total population, 49,000 migrants. Like, you think that's bad? What the hell's wrong with you?
50 people. 50. But wait a minute. What about all these ultra liberals, these multimillionaires? They have 10, 12 bedrooms in their homes. You mean to tell me even one multi-gazillionaire in Martha's Vineyard couldn't keep those 50 illegal immigrants in their one home on Martha's Vineyard? It's like, nope, no room at the inn, Jesus. Hit the road. Smell you later.
And we know Obama's not there a lot. So those people have never seen a house like Obama's. 50 of them would be fine in there, in their 20,000 square foot Martha's Vineyard. They each have like, 500, 600 square feet to themselves.
Better than what I've got.
Right. I actually tweeted this week. I said, Ron DeSantis, can you send me on a bus to Martha's Vineyard? Because I'll friggin' take it.
I need the vacation.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the Florida governor, I mean, this guy is just brilliant when it comes to this crisis and basically saying, okay, fine, you take them. And here we have a clip of Ron DeSantis basically calling out the hypocrisy of the folks in Martha's Vineyard that says, hey, in one respect, we love illegal immigrants. We love them. We support them, but not on our backyard.
We are not a sanctuary state. And it's better to be able to go to a sanctuary jurisdiction. And yes, we will help facilitate that transport for you to be able to go to greener pastures. Biden would fly people in the middle of the night, dump them all across this country. There was no warning on any of this. And all those people in D.C. and New York were beating their chests when Trump was president, saying they were so proud to be sanctuary jurisdictions, saying how bad it was to have a secure border. The minute even a small fraction of what those border towns deal with every day is brought to their front door, they all of a sudden go berserk, and they're so upset that this is happening.
And here's one of my favorite things about this, too. Now they're saying every week, Stefan, now that they're, you know, actually going in their backyards all of a sudden, it's always like, oh, my God, what a humanitarian crisis. How could you do that to these people? Well, let's, Kamala, go to the root causes, as you say. I don't know. Maybe, you know, saying every day and broadcasting our borders wide freaking open is a starting place. That's a humanitarian crisis. 50 people dying in the back of a semi is a humanitarian crisis, right? People drowning in these rivers and lakes or whatever they are problems, right? People that are in America dying of fentanyl overdose, that's a humanitarian crisis. People in our country getting raped and murdered, that's a humanitarian crisis. But no, 50 migrants going to the nicest place that America offers is a humanitarian crisis.
Right. And they were transported in a very humane and nice, comfortable way right. to get there. But that is the height of hypocrisy. I mean, I remember with planes flying into New York City in the dark of night, not one Democrat said a word, not a word, when Joe Biden was putting illegal immigrants on a plane and sending them all over America. Not one word. But all of a sudden, Ron DeSantis in Florida, Governor Abbott in Texas, they move illegal aliens to New York City, D.C., the vice president's home, Martha's Vineyard. And all of a sudden, it's not only a massive inhumane crisis, but those Republican governors are just evil. Even though the only difference between Joe Biden and Ron DeSantis is that one used a plane and one used a bus.
Yeah, and I would say Ron DeSantis is more climate-friendly, Stefan, than flying him across the country. So he's doing something right, right?
That's right. Well, you mentioned Texas, and obviously Ted Cruz, United States Senator from that neck of the woods. You know, as you mentioned, Mike, Texas, they're dealing with this every single day.
Yeah.
Every day. And, you know, 50 illegal immigrants in Martha's Vineyard, you know, you would think it was like basically the Cuban Missile Crisis. And that's what these guys are dealing with in like one border crossing. And Ted Cruz just had in our next clip, he had a classic reaction to the brouhaha over the liberal meltdown, sucking their thumbs in the fetal position over illegals being sent to Martha's Vineyard.
You know, all of the folks on Martha's Vineyard happily voted for Joe Biden. Well, they can live with the consequences of the lawless policies that right now the people of McAllen, the people of Laredo, the people of Eagle Pass, the people of Texas are feeling the price for this. And Biden still won't change. Instead, what does he do? He lies to the American people. He sends Karine Jean-Pierre out to claim nobody is crossing the border illegally. It's a flat out lie. And all of the docile little sheep in the press room, they baa like sheep. And they ignore the fact that she's lying to the American people.
I love that.
Well said. I will say, I think that's what's frustrating to me too. I mean, at this point, Stefan, let's take the Martha's Vineyard joke is what it's been out of the equation. Let's take the New York City stuff. Let's take away the DC stuff, the president, vice president's house. We really have to go back and talk about the fact that this now is just becoming its own crisis, and it's been a crisis at the southern border. And you just can't have a country that has no border, right? You just can't have it. All the while knowing the northern border is locked down tighter than a drum, right? It doesn't make sense. And people really need to start calling him out for that. And Ted Cruz is right. In that press room, no, we're not going to take word salad today. We're not going to let you spew out a bunch of garbage. We want to know why that border's open. I was arguing with a guy, Stefan, you know, I'm on Twitter now. I'm like you these days, Twitter fingers. You argue with these people and they're like, yeah, but the border's really not that bad. Like there's not an issue. I'm like, then the argument was, well, it was just as bad during Trump. I'm like, well, you see, the number of encounters during Trump was more than, or 50% less and more than what's going on right now. In 2019 or 2020, it was like 500,000 encounters. We're already over 2.1 million and it's September.
Yeah, we're not even done with the end of the year yet. And it's also not just, okay, you know, think of it this way. An illegal alien crosses Mexico on a boat to Florida, whichever is their mode of transportation. It's not just the fact that these individuals are coming illegally. So by definition, they are breaking the law by being in the United States of America. They're going to go on social services, get driver's licenses, vote illegally in our elections. But also, there's some very bad apples who are crossing the border and coming to our country, and they are committing crimes. Some of those crimes are fairly horrific against women and American citizens. And let's talk about the big crisis that's leading to an uptick in crime is the fentanyl crisis. Fentanyl is flowing freely across this country because we have a wide open border, and that is the direct result of failed policies of Joe Biden. That is the horrific crisis that is literally killing people every single day across America, and Joe Biden opened the door and let it in.
And Stefan, I know you talk about, you know, your family roots with Ukraine all the time, and rightfully so, right? You know what's going on. You see what's going on in that crisis. For me, I always talk about the fentanyl heroin drug epidemic that we have in our country hits home to me, right? Because I dealt with that with two family members. And for those that think like, yeah, it's really not that big of a deal. No, it is. It is a big deal. Now it's even worse than what my family went through too as well, because fentanyl, you like smell it and you die. Right. It's not like heroin when people were doing heroin and that's a little bit stronger than usual. No, this is a drug that literally people have given CPR to people that have a fentanyl overdose, and they're overdosing because they're giving CPR to someone who had fentanyl in their system. That's how nuts this is.
Yeah. The dangers of even law enforcement, first responders. Yeah. I mean, it's just a nightmare. And it all boils down to a wide open border. And the Democrats will do it because they know they'll get away with it because they have a complicit media that will never hold them accountable. It seems like conservative media, you know, traditionally Fox News, things of that nature, they're the only ones who truly hold government accountable. I mean, look at Tucker Carlson. I mean, he's talking about this pretty much every single day. And, you know, our next clip is Tucker basically taking on this issue of Martha's Vineyard and just, you know, hypocrisy of the left when it comes to booting these illegal immigrants.
We are not a sanctuary state.
Martha's Vineyard has everything you could ever want in the world except racial diversity. The island is whiter than a Swedish bluegrass festival. And DeSantis was trying to help. Under normal circumstances, the residents of Martha's Vineyard would have no choice but to smile and say thank you, Governor DeSantis. When government officials send you the blessed gift of diverse immigrants or refugees, you must accept. That's the rule. It doesn't matter how disruptive these new people are. It's irrelevant how much they cost to support or how dramatically your quality of life may decline after they arrive. It doesn't matter if the crime rate spikes, if your daughter's afraid to go outside, if the schools become unusable, if the hospitals fall apart. It doesn't matter. You never complain. You take it like a man.
Amen.
Is there a better, you know, conservative talk show right now than Tucker Carlson?
Well, he's right, though. I mean, think about it. All these limousine liberals who like to put signs on their lawn saying peace, love and happiness and all lives matter and Black Lives Matter, whatever sign they put on their lawn. And, you know, from their again, their upper middle class enclaves. I mean, the fact of the matter is that illegal immigration was never a problem for them until it landed on their doorstep, thanks to Governor DeSantis. It was always, well, you know what? I'll sit here in the comfy confines of my million-dollar mansion. That's Florida's problem. That's Texas's problem. That's Arizona's problem. You know what? Joe Biden wants open borders. God bless America. Let's bring everybody in. Only until it came to their doorstep did they realize, wait a minute, in 48 hours, we landed 50 illegal immigrants, and they put them on an army base, called the National Guard, and shipped them back out. We should adopt that model.
This was always my point during the summer of love too, Stefan. Like, yeah, cops stink. We don't want them. So my point was always, okay, I do have an idea for you then. Cops are terrible. So do me a favor. I'm going to rent an apartment for you in the east side of Buffalo, and I'm going to put you there for a month. Let me know if you want the police or not. When you're walking out to your car getting robbed, right? When your windshield's busted in, right? When you can't figure out where you're going and you have to get a flat tire, let's say, because you ran over a nail and you're outside the car by yourself, right? If police stink to you, then go live in that neighborhood and tell me what it's like there, right? It's the same thing with this. It's the same exact thing.
Yeah, these woke radical progressives want to defund the police. They want to defund law enforcement. But you know what the first phone number they call when they're in trouble? 911.
Yep.
No, it's just the height of hypocrisy. And the left just melted down. They lost their minds. I mean, they even like basically bust in like immigration lawyers to say, oh, I can't believe this is happening. This is unbelievable. This is so insensitive. I mean, here's a clip. It's clip number 6 of some of the immigration lawyers that were working with the illegals saying, I cannot believe this is happening in Martha's Vineyard.
This was obviously a sadistic lie. Not only did those responsible for this stunt know that there was no housing and no employment awaiting the migrants, they also very intentionally chose not to call ahead to any single office authority on Martha's Vineyard so that even the most basic human needs arrangements could be made.
Okay, so Texas and Arizona have housing set up for these folks? And they have employment set up for these folks. Am I missing something?
Right. A candy on the pillow, luxury suite, a job, a car.
One of those nice mint chocolates right on the, right on the pillow.
Horrible that you cross illegally in a country you're not supposed to be in. And we don't give you a car, a job, a home, a bed, and everything else. Okay. They're going just nuts about what's happening in Martha's Vineyard. Again, I can't stop reminding people, over 50 individuals, 50, 50. What about the 2 million that have mostly come across Arizona, Texas, Florida? What about them? No one was melting down with an open border, no wall, wide open in many open spots. But all of a sudden, 50 people come to Martha's Vineyard and you would think it's the apocalypse.
Speaking of walls, I just have a quick question before we go to our next clip. What was that thing outside of Kamala Harris's residence? It was this black thing that went like a tic-tac-toe board around the whole thing. What was that?
I think you're looking for the word called wall.
Yes. It was a fenced wall around her house. No shit. It actually works. No kidding. Oh my God.
It keeps people out of Nancy Pelosi's house. She's got a wall larger than, you know, the wall outside of Kamala Harris's house, the vice president. And they should. Why? Because walls and barriers protect people. They keep you safe. So it's no different than these elected officials like Kathy Hochul who say, well, I don't want anyone carrying a firearm in New York State except the police who protect me. Everyone else, you're out on your own. Kamala, Nancy Pelosi, you know what? Walls are horrible, except when I need to be protected. Yeah. I have a massive wall outside of my house.
Because I'm more important and you are just peasants underneath me. That's the main.
I mean, look at New York City. They're calling it a humanitarian crisis, that their shelters are overflowing. There's a recent story, horrific story, of an illegal immigrant who was in one of their shelters committed suicide. But yet, you know, Eric Adams, our last clip, the mayor of New York City, still is going on and on and on about there was no problem when Joe Biden sent illegals to New York City. But it's just absolutely horrible when Ron DeSantis does it.
The Republican Party, they have created a blueprint that all of them are starting to follow. It's inhumane. For the governor to send immigrants to Martha's Vineyard without any coordination is just creating a real crisis.
Coordination? What is he talking about? Do illegal immigrants coordinate before they cross illegally and they call the Border Patrol, or even better, they call the mayor of a respective city and say, hey, by the way, I'm just coordinating with you right now. There's going to be 400 of us crammed in like sardines in the back of a truck. But I want you to know that we're coordinating with you, that when we cross illegally, then you'll be able to give me my job, my car, my house, my voting ID and things of that nature. I'm going to coordinate with you first.
Hey, Chief, do you have room for 800 more? That we got another busload coming up. I mean, that's what's so crazy about this. And Stefan, all kidding aside, I feel like Martha's Vineyard probably is one of the greatest places these people could go. And not because it's nice, but because there's a bunch of 20-bedroom homes over there that have plenty of room for people.
I can't afford to go to Martha's Vineyard. I'm raising kids. I pay bills. I would love to go there. But I can't because I have a job and I work. And you know what? When my family came to America, they came here legally.
Yeah.
Legally, with their proper documentation, jobs, sponsors, and eventually became citizens. God bless America. I wholeheartedly support legal immigration.
I agree.
I am the product of legal immigrants. My family knows that this country is the greatest country in the world because of legal immigration. Get in line, do it the right way. God bless America. Come here for whatever reason you want, but come here the right way. And it's
totally,
you
know,
what Ron DeSantis and Governor Abbott in Texas are doing. This is the ultimate exposing of liberal, woke, radical hypocrisy, where they all preach and talk a big game about love, tolerance, acceptance, and let's love illegal immigrants until they show up on your front door. Then all bets are off.
I do have one quick clip, Stefan, that have you seen this? The I don't know how you say his last name. Don Lemon with the reparations. Have you seen this yet?
No.
So he had a guest on. Let me just turn this off so I don't have any sound playing. He had a guest on last night talking about the Queen and, you know, how they're so rich, the royal family, and that we need reparations due to their rich whiteness. I'm going to play this for you. This has nothing to do with what we've talked about today, but it's just one of the greatest clips I've seen in a while, because the lady he's interviewing just shreds him about, I'm going to save it. Let me just pull it up here for a second.
Yeah.
The reason I'm bringing this up is this is the media, right? This is what they do, and they cause a lot of issues. They try and you know, cause friction between people. And sometimes they just get called out like he does here. And this is about a minute and a half clip, but I'm going to play it through. You got to watch this. It's amazing. And he gets put in his place.
Well, this is coming when, you know, there's all of this wealth and you hear about it comes as England is facing rising costs of living, a living crisis, austerity, budget cuts, and so on. And then you have those who are asking for reparations for colonialism, and they're wondering, you know, $100 billion, $24 billion here and there, $500 million there. some people want to be paid back, and members of the public are wondering, why are we suffering when you are, you know, you have all of this vast wealth? Those are legitimate concerns.
Well, I think you're right about reparations in terms of if people want it, though, what they need to do is you always need to go back to the beginning of a supply chain. Where was the beginning of the supply chain? That was in Africa. And when that crossed the entire world, when slavery was taking place, which was the first nation in the world that abolished slavery? The first nation in the world to abolish it. It was started by William Wilberforce, was the British. In Great Britain, they abolished slavery. 2,000 naval men died on the high seas trying to stop slavery. Why? Because the African kings were rounding up their own people. They had them on cages waiting in the beaches. No one was running into Africa to get them. And I think you're totally right. If reparations need to be paid, we need to go right back to the beginning of that supply chain and say, who was rounding up their own people and having them handcuffed in cages? Absolutely. That's where they should start. And maybe, I don't know, the descendants of those families where they died at the, in the high seas.
So she just goes on to say, go after that. And I think that's just so well said, right? You want to blame white people all the time and rich whiteness, right? Orange man, Stefan Mihailu, white folks, bad people. Yet she makes a valid point. That's where it started.
And for the most part, especially when it comes to Native American history, whether it's in North America, like how far back do you go?
Right.
How far back do you go? Do you go back 400 years, 500 years? Are one, you know, Native tribe going to have to pay back another? Or let's look at the city of Buffalo. If the British have so much money, I think the British should spend hundreds of millions of dollars building our city back again, more than, you know, 200 years later when they burnt it down in the War of 1812.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe King Charles, who the Bills are 2-0 in the King Charles era, maybe we can hit him up for some extra cash and rebuild some parks and rebuild all of our downtown Buffalo when the big bad British burned Buffalo more than 200 years ago.
And can we just be fair for a second here? You and I would never, ever call for slavery or think it's okay or it's something needed in society. And not one person I know agrees with what happened 200-300 years ago. Not one person. So stop blaming people like Stefan Mihailu and Mike Spiraza for something we have no control of and don't agree with and don't ever want to see again.
Well, and you know, people on the left have no skin in the game. They have zero skin in the game, whether it's illegal immigration. They'll say, hey, let's be a sanctuary city. Let's love all. And then when it falls on their doorstep, it's like, whoa, wait a minute. No, we don't. Reparations. Okay. You know, you want to talk about white privilege. What about all these, you know, left-wing tree huggers and woke radicals on college campuses? How come they're not walking into the financial aid office of their respective college and saying, oh, there's a minority student. I benefit. You know what? I'm going to give them my tuition. You know how many, like, rich white kids are doing that? None. Because they have skin in the game. They want someone else to basically, you know, make up for their so-called white guilt. And it's a joke. It's sad and it's pathetic.
Yeah. How many rich white kids gave up their COVID stipend that they got from the government to poor people?
Or again, go to any college campus of all these people screaming bloody murder about reparations. Okay, then fine. Go to the financial aid office right now, find a minority student, say, you're going to keep my tuition. You know how many people are doing that? None, because they're frauds and hypocrites.
That's the world we live in, my friend. A bunch of frauds and hypocrites. That might be the title of this episode, Frauds and Hypocrites, because that's all this is.
Amen to
that. All right, folks. Don't forget, if you need us throughout the week, 833 Fin Guys. Follow all of our podcasts and watch every week on financialguysmedia.com. Stefan Mihailu and I have Mike and Mihailu. Mike and Glenn have the original Financial Guys podcast. Mike Hayflick and I, TFG Truth. Follow us on Twitter at FinGuys. We're also on Facebook and Instagram. I never get these right. Like us, tweet us, tag us, whatever it is, follow. Stefan, you got any parting thoughts besides go Bills or anything else?
I'm just going to say go Bills. That's there it. You go. Vote November. Vote on November 8th. And go Bills. And God save the King, because they are 2-0 in the King Charles reign.
That is very true. And we will be, Stefan, I think we are going to be hosting in October again together, you and I. So I just got to get that date. We'll be hosting the live radio show. And we'll be looking forward to Mike and Mihailu again next Monday. It'll come out Tuesday, as always. Folks, remember, like Stefan said, please, please, please go out and vote. And of course, as usual, I should say, go Bills, and hopefully they go 3-0 this week. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next Tuesday.